we went through our own tough time in our own marriage. We'd been married 11 years. And at one point in time, Elise and I just looked at each other and we had three options. One, get a divorce. We had a 5- and 2-year-old at that time as well. Get a divorce. Two, wait till the youngest turns 18 and then get a divorce so we could just move on with our own lives. And that's hit us a lot this past year because our youngest turned 18 in November.
Wow.
Or we could get radical.
You're listening to the 7-Figure Leap Podcast. We're here to leverage rich relationships and smart strategies to take your business to the next level. Here's your host, Dustin Reichman.
Welcome back to the 7-Figure Leap. Another amazing guest today, and I think this guest is going to hold the distinction unless I interview my mom or my wife as the person who knows me the longest is going to be in this interview seat here on the podcast. So this is my good friend, Tony DeLorenzo. I've actually known Tony since circa 2009. We'll get to our origin story and why he hated me so much back when he first met me. But Tony, with that rousing introduction, why don't you share with the audience what you and Elise are up to with One Extraordinary Marriage and all the good work you're doing.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dustin. And yes, it has been a long time since we've known each other, and it's been an amazing journey together, what we do here. So I'm Tony DeLorenzo, and my beautiful wife, Elisa, and I, we help couples have extraordinary marriages through our 6 Pillars of Intimacy framework. So what that means is we've been podcasting for 14 years now, and each week we get behind our microphones and encourage and bring hope to couples around the world, no matter where they are, what they may be facing. We talk about all the topics and cover one of the pillars of intimacy in one of those episodes.
Amazing. So we're going to talk later about collaborations and some of the ways that you do work now, but that also has a lot to do with our origin story. But before we get into all that, I think just maybe expand a little bit. So oneextraordinarymarriage.com, you guys are the OGs of podcasting. Tony and I were at PodFest, and it's like walking around with a celebrity because everyone knows them and knows the good work they've been doing for so long. So what all do you do at One Extraordinary Marriage? Like, how do you serve your customers, the people you call the one family?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, when we started 14 years ago, we didn't have anything, right? We started with a podcast. And now, today, we have a number of different offerings depending on where people are in their own marriage journey. I think the starting point would be for us are our books. We've self-published 9 books. Elisa's working on book 10 and the workbook companion to that. So 10 and 11 will be coming out this year. So there's our books. We have some courses, which we have done over the years. It just depends on when we've done those and how we've done those. But we have those available to people. Elisa has her Bold Wives Club, which is a membership community for just wives that she does some coaching, but really it's about community and having wives come together, because what she has found over the years with coaching, and that's another thing that she does, that wives just need a safe space and a place where they can talk about a lot of different things that are going on. And then we do have coaching that Elisa does. That's a one-on-one or one with couples. We also do events. So we have our marriage getaway, which is typically a 5-day, 4-night event in another country. Typically, we've gone to Cancun. 2025, we will be heading out on a cruise. We're also doing events that are local within the state. We also speak. So we go to churches. Most likely, I'm partnering with churches to do our 6 Pillars of Intimacy masterclass or a 6 Pillars of Intimacy conference weekend. We have a number of different things, as well as our e-commerce store. We do partnerships, and we also have free offerings for folks.
So just a few things going on. I do want to talk a little bit, I think, about our kind of growing up together in the online industry here, run our online businesses. I think it's really relevant because the next thing I want to dig into is why you do what you do. And I'd like to first talk about the business evolution, and then we can talk more on the personal side with you and Elisa and your marriage and the things that maybe happened earlier in your relationship that drove you to want to share this publicly. But I don't know exactly. I think you encountered me on Twitter or somewhere. But
Twitter.
As people may know from my story, I was an engineer for many years. And my very first online business for me grew out of marriage ministry. And it was called Engaged Marriage. And so 2009, I just started writing and writing and writing. And then I started figuring out social media, and I started doing collaborations with other people in that space and grew pretty rapidly. And so somewhere in there, Tony spotted me. And as I joked when we opened, you know, didn't necessarily like me.
I did. I was like, who's this dude?
We got to be friends. So why don't you share that experience of what you were doing in the early days and maybe when you encountered me, and I can help pick up the story from there on kind of how we've evolved our businesses over the years.
Yeah. So, you know, Elisa and I jumped into One Extraordinary Marriage as a hobby. Like, first and foremost, it was a hobby. And I do want to give props up to our good friend, Dan Miller, who has since passed. He was a huge mentor of mine and was the catalyst of what One Extraordinary Marriage is today, because he got me to dreaming and thinking, and you had a similar experience reading one of his books of going like, we could have a side hustle. I had another business going on, but we could have something else, a passion project, something that just fired us up. So we went through our own tough time in our own marriage. We'd been married 11 years. And at one point in time, Elise and I just looked at each other and we had three options. One, get a divorce. We had a 5 and a 2-year-old at that time as well. Get a divorce. Two, wait till the youngest turns 18 and then get a divorce so we could just move on with our own lives. And that's hit us a lot this past year because our youngest turned 18 in November.
Wow.
Or we could get radical. And we decided to get radical. We were leading a small group at our church at the time. And we were talking about the Song of Solomon. I felt like we needed to talk about sexual intimacy in the church more. We had gone through this 60-day sex challenge. I'm not going to talk about it here. If you want to learn about it, go to oneextraordinarymarriage.com/001.
Go over to Tony's website for that stuff.
Yeah. So that tells the whole story about the 60-day sex challenge. What we didn't know is somebody in that small group told our family pastors about it. From there, they asked us to speak at the next year's marriage getaway, which was fun. We got to talk about it. The thing that kept coming up, though, was people and our pastors were asking, what's next? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going, there's nothing next. I'm good. Elisa's good. We're good. There's nothing next. But people kept asking. And that's when in 2009 that we picked up blogging. And then in 2010, that's when we started publishing the podcast on a weekly basis. And that was sort of the genesis of, all right, that's where we started. And then it's evolved over the years from a hobby to now a business that has multiple streams of income. We have a number of different contractors on the team who help us out and continue to grow to reach and impact marriages.
Amazing. Very similar, actually, origin stories. I didn't realize some of the overlap, even Tony. 15 years. But actually, the part of marriage ministry Bethany and I were drawn to is actually sexual intimacy. And it was really the misunderstandings of our church's teaching around it and the fact that it's a dirty word. And we felt it was like actually the most beautiful part of a relationship. But we had distorted views coming into it and had to go through a lot of learning and ministry to figure that out. We were invited sort of unexpectedly to come help lead a marriage retreat. And we're like, we're really not qualified for this. We're dealing with our own stuff. And then right on top of that, I found Dan Miller's book, No More Dreaded Mondays was the title at the time while we were on vacation. And I sort of had the same spark of inspiration, like, hey, I'm doing engineering all day. I've got these little kids at home. What if I had a creative outlet that kind of let me use the right side of my brain? I just started blogging and writing and sharing about all the stuff we were learning and these couples we were meeting and these retreat experiences. And so, yeah, and then we met around 2010 on social media. We're going to talk later about partnerships and collaboration. But I think one of the early projects that I was part of, I won't take full credit for it, but it was this collaborative ebook, which, you know, back in the day, ebooks were all the rage.
The rage.
Vision of, hey, what if we invited like all these different thought leaders and they just contributed a small excerpt to this book and then we could all have it as a resource for a lead magnet, to sell it, to give it away, whatever. And so when I look back at that, Pat Flynn, who a lot of people know now is a major online business voice, Dan Miller, and just some other really cool people were in this book. I was part of pulling that together. And we'll talk later about partnerships, but I had no conscious idea of it. But at the time, it was just a really smart partnership and collaboration and this idea of like, hey, we can all lift our boats together. This isn't a competition. Like, why don't we work together and do something cool? I know that was around the time that we encountered each other.
Yeah. How many of those books were downloaded? Do you remember?
I have no idea because it wasn't well controlled. Like it was mostly like on Scribd. It was on this website. People would just go grab it. I mean, it was definitely in the thousands, if not tens of thousands. It was pretty widely distributed and I got interviewed a lot about it and it became a pretty big deal. It was a really fun chapter. And again, I reflect back now on all the lessons I learned from that and how I now do that in different mediums, the mediums of the day. But at the time it was ebooks and it really was effective. So you guys had your own struggles, kind of got pulled into this reluctantly, was asked what's next. Then 2010, you start podcasting, which was not really a thing at that time. And if I got this right, you've had a weekly podcast for 14 years straight. So how many episodes have you guys published?
as of this recording, 795.
Wow, that's amazing.
As you said, you know, when we went to PodFest, I don't remember how many folks were in my room. I was on the pre-day, so I think there was probably about 80 or so people. And I'm saying it's a pre-day because Dustin and I were both at PodFest and he had a larger crowd. But when I asked, and I think you remember when I asked this question, how many of you knew what podcasting was 14 years ago? And there are three people. We were just at an event in Charlotte and I looked around the room. We had 150 plus couples in it. And I asked, how many of you knew what podcasting was 14 years ago? Not one person raised their hand. So we were definitely on the early side of podcasting, but that's where our voices were best for us as Elisa and I, where we were able to learn who we were and just even work through our own marriage stuff. But we were sharing that story with others so that they could come alongside and join us in that journey. Interestingly enough, I met a couple this past weekend. They've been listening since 2013.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, what a true intimacy. Like we talk about a lot on the business or marketing side, like how podcasting is a really unique medium because it's very intimate. Like you're in someone's earbuds, they're usually in kind of a hypnotic state because they're running or driving and they're kind of like really focused in on you. There's just something about that direct connection into our eardrums. See, to me, it's even more intimate and valuable than video. But I think what's also really interesting about what you and Elisa have done with it is the format. So there's no guests. There's hardly any solo episodes. You want to talk about the format and has that stayed totally consistent over 14 years?
Yeah. So when we started, it was Elisa and I. And that was the way I saw most podcasts early on. There were these interview styles, but Elisa and I just felt like, you know what, let's just do you and I. Like you and I just talk and we'll go through a topic each week. We did attempt to do one interview, and I think it's episode 17 or 18. I can't recall. And literally, dude, I disliked it so much. We didn't have technology like we have today. And it was such a pain. And I found it to just be irritating because I was like, I really don't want to hear what you have to say. I'm glad you're promoting marriage and different things, but it just, for me, I just didn't feel that connection. At that point in time, I'm like, Elisa, whatever, like, we're just going to talk and it's just going to be you and I. And over those years, the show episodes have changed because we went from this really long format and would sort of drone on, wouldn't hit the points. We would listen to our audience, we call them the one family, and they would give us feedback and we started tightening things up. We're in a good rhythm and have been for many, many years. We're around that 25 to 28, 29 minute range. We have a flow that we just go through and we still continue to reach out to the one family. Like today, Elisa put up a post, an IG story, and she's asking questions like, have you ever had a sex injury? You know, yes, no. And if so, what happened? So that will become an entire episode for us just talking about that. But we love to engage the one family and bring them into it. This isn't about Tony and Elisa. It's about how do we help you have the extraordinary marriage you desire?
Yeah. And so it's not about Tony and Elisa yet. For many years it was, and it's still, you know, you guys are still the co-hosts. So I think when you think of someone, put yourself in the shoes of these people that they met, this couple that they met at an event. So 11 years, basically straight on a weekly basis, you do the math, 500 and something episodes of Tony and Elisa talking about things from an audience, but also talking about things that happen behind your own closed doors. They have struggled with kids and your own sexual intimacy and your own struggles with different vices and all the things. Cause I'm very familiar with the show. And I think that's part of what makes it so unique and endearing. And the fact that that's why there's this, no pun intended, intimacy, like with your audience, because they really feel like they know you all so deeply. Is that when you meet people in person, is that very gratifying? Does it ever feel a little weird? And the fact that like they really know you, or at least they feel like they do, and yet you have no idea who they are when you first meet them?
Yes. But then there's a really deep sense of gratitude and appreciation. And I can get teary-eyed and just thinking about the commitment to sticking with us when we didn't know who we were or what we were doing. We just had a mission, and our mission is to impact one marriage, and in parentheses, we say every day. That has been our mission for so long that there's just a sense of gratitude for them and to let them know that they are part of the one family. Like who we are behind the microphones is who we are in person. It is interesting at times because I'll have guys and gals, they'll come up and they're totally fangirling or fanguying on me and Elisa. And that to me is interesting. And yet I understand, because when they tell me their stories, and we were in the same space, you and Elisa were, or we were dealing with this struggle, and listening to you helped us not feel alone anymore, but to actually be intentional and take action in our marriage and this and that. And I just have such a sense of like gratitude, but just appreciation. I don't know the word sometimes, but it's always fun to be around them. I just want to give them a hug and thank them and let them know what I say at the end of every episode is love you guys. And I want them to know that we love them.
Yeah. It's just a real testament to stewardship. In my opinion, it's like you didn't really necessarily understand the call, but you just kind of kept following it. And God's used you as a couple, as an instrument and an example to help so many people. There's the few that you meet, the few percentage that you meet, but there's so many more thousands that you'll never meet. That through this amazing platform, podcasting and social media and now books and speaking. Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. We talk a lot about having a 7-figure impact. Impact correlates to a 6-figure income. That's easy to measure in business circles. Like, hey, you know, like me, you know, I can run a program and say you're going to make this much money from it, 10x result. I think what's really interesting and what I appreciate with you all is the perseverance to stick with it when it's not easy to measure a lot of times, because you're in this business to consumer or B2C market. Maybe someone buys a book, you don't really know it, or maybe they buy a course, but you don't really know them. And it's more difficult. And I appreciate the perseverance in that. So along those lines, just to kind of zip through the history, 2009, 10, we meet, 2014, 15, we're going to a couple of digital marketing conferences. We're both like, hey, this started out as a hobby and maybe a bit of a ministry, but it could really be a business. Like, we're selling stuff, we've written books, we've written courses. This is actually pretty fun. I'm taking off work from engineering. You're leaving your business to come and we're hanging out and learning digital marketing. Then I end up leaving engineering. You leave your full-time job and sell that job, your full-time business and sell that. And, you know, the last several years, we've got to hang out in a different context. And now we're full-time entrepreneurs. We're really supporting each other every day. He's really is my business brother. Now Tony's been supporting me and I've supported him. He's been in my accelerator and he's now in my 7-figure lead mastermind. And so it's really cool to look back at kind of the similar origin story, different paths, you know, and we've chosen different business models at the end of the day, but pretty similar growth journey. We've had some businesses together over the time. We've met in person many times. We've met each other's families. So just a word of gratitude here, Tony, publicly, just thank you for all that you've done for me and helping me get to this point and have a podcast after I'm only 14 years behind you guys, but I'm here. So thank you.
Yeah, you're doing awesome. I love it. I love listening to it too. And yeah, it's just been that journey. And for those of you who may be stuck somewhere, know that I got stuck many a times. Like both Dustin and I were stuck many a times. And for myself, it was just a commitment. I have such a deep passion and it's just who I am. I get into something, and even in those times when it was rough, I would pick up something else, but I always had one extraordinary marriage. And there were times through those years when all Elisa and I ever did was we did one podcast episode a week. And that was for a couple of years. It was like in the 200-300 range where our children were growing. She was doing some direct sales stuff. My other business was growing. And all we did was do that. But we kept just moving forward and kept plugging forward, and we continued to learn. And I think that was the biggest thing, is I kept learning different ways to impact people or find new people to bring into the one family. And that's become very helpful over the years, because in that B2C, I do believe you have to have a bigger audience because of what our price points are with you and others who are doing high ticket accelerators, masterminds in the B2B. You can have a smaller email list or a smaller circle to do the same results that we get.
Yeah, no, that's a great segue. So I want to kind of get a little more of a firm snapshot on where you're at before we start talking about for the future. But I think there's two components here. I do want to talk in very rough terms, just sort of where you're at revenue wise and like what comes from coaching versus from speaking, et cetera. Just kind of a really rough idea to give people a snapshot of this really successful B2C business. Before we do that, though, I think it's important to let you unpack for a few minutes, what are the 6 pillars of intimacy? Because that's become your best-selling book. It's really what you typically are speaking about. Again, I've seen the evolution of that. And it's like this almost like a aha moment when it was like, that's it. We finally named what we do. And people are super resonating with it. And it's really fun to see. So you want to just share with our audience, what are the 6 pillars and what does this mean when you say 6 pillars of intimacy?
Yeah. So first and foremost, intimacy isn't what you're probably thinking right now. Intimacy, the actual definition is closeness and connection. So what we're all about is helping couples become closer and connected to one another through the six pillars of intimacy. And those are emotional intimacy, physical intimacy, financial intimacy, spiritual intimacy, recreational intimacy, and then sexual intimacy. And so what we do is we help couples see each of those pillars and go, which ones have cracks? Which one are we strong in? And how do we continue to strengthen them? No matter if they have cracked or they're strong, how do we continue to strengthen those pillars so that we can have the extraordinary marriage we desire? That has been a huge blessing to us. And as you said, it started out as an ebook. I think with that ebook, we gave it away for free and we got somewhere in the vicinity of maybe like 10,000 emails by just giving the book away. We started doing some workshops around it, talking about it. We've been doing it for almost ever on the podcast. We just didn't know what it was. We didn't know how to call it. We didn't know how to share it with people. But once we got that framework going, we did some workshops around it. We had hundreds of couples joining us on these workshops. And that was a catalyst for the book that eventually got published in 2021. And we've since released a workbook as well as a monthly planner and a second book in that series called The Six Pillars of Intimacy, Conflict Resolution.
And then you have another book coming in the future in that series. So you've really found your lane and it's become synonymous with One Extraordinary Marriage.
And and our events are around that too, Dustin, right? My main marriage getaway is called Six Pillars in Paradise, Marriage Getaway. So Paradise is land-based. We're going to do Six Pillars at Sea, which will obviously be sea-based. And then we may do a Six Pillars adventure, which would be more of like we're going out doing something more in the wild.
Yeah, I love it. So it just speaks to the power of a framework. We talk a lot about frameworks and group coaching and masterminds and more of the B2B circles. But again, I just love having you talk more about the business consumer and how that framework's maybe even more important. You really need this moment of clarity for people that are not clear on what their actual problem is. And so they like see this wheel and they're like, oh, financial intimacy. I didn't know that was a thing, but like, that's totally it. We fight about money all the time. You know, like we really need help with that. Or recreational intimacy. Oh, wow. I never even thought about the fact that like all we do is parent and work and we like don't have any time that's just fun for us anymore.
Right.
And we can really work on. There's a crack in that pillar. And then I love like the pillar as the foundation of the marriage and that you got to have all six to be strong. Think of like the Wheel of Life, Zig Ziglar, and some of these older frameworks. I think, of course, Five Love Languages. It's just like you can name something and then give people total clarity when they see it. I think that there's absolute magic in that. So with what you've built to date, again, don't disclose what you don't want to disclose. I think it's fair to say you've got a multiple six-figure business.
Six figures.
Yeah. And you guys are doing really well. And we're going to talk about future pacing and where you might want to take this moving forward in the next several years. But as a snapshot today, just in rough numbers, percentage-wise, how much of your business would you say is like coaching versus live events versus books? And I think people, especially people in the B2C industry, they're probably like really curious about what does this mix need to be? Because you have a pretty robust product mix at this point compared to many people that might be listening.
Yeah. So off the top of my head, it's going to be tough because they have six.
You have no preparation for this question.
Six streams of income that I'm thinking about. Biggest is going to be coaching at this point in time. And I would say that's probably up to about a third of our income right now. And that's going to be shifting as we grow Bold Wives Club even more. So that's a big chunk of it. Our e-commerce takes up a really good chunk of that as well. And then we start getting into other workshops that we may be putting on or masterclasses that we put on. We have affiliate partnerships we have with other experts that we bring on to share with the One family. We have our Amazon book sales. We have Amazon associate sales. We have sponsorships to the podcast and sponsorships to the newsletter. So we have these different things that are coming in from different angles. I don't know all the percentages.
No, that's fine. And then our live events, because I know.
Oh, in live events. Yes. Thank you for bringing this.
Recently, as we see here in early February, you've sold out for the whole year as far as live events go. And so I imagine that that's now a pretty substantial part of your income. And I think as we start talking about future pacing here, that's intentional, right? Like that's something you and Elisa really want to do because it not only has great income, it gives you a great platform, but you also get to travel, right? And it helps feed your recreational intimacy. You want to share a little more about that?
Exactly. We put the marriage getaway on because we wanted a marriage event where we would want to go to, which wasn't so focused on like, we're in a room for 8 hours, but we're in this beautiful setting. It's more like we're in this beautiful setting and we're going to take a couple hours, a few hours a day to really pour into marriage and more than anything, have fun, have breakthrough, but also to get you to meet other couples. So yeah, marriage getaway sold out. From a speaking perspective of speaking at churches, I just got a notification today that the last spot we had available will be signed this week. We have another event we're going to be putting on in Texas. That's our Six Pillars of Intimacy weekend. We haven't started promoting that yet. But yeah, that's a whole nother facet of the business that really started growing last year. And this year has become even a bigger part of that. I think it's going to stay same or similar year over year. We don't want to be speaking every weekend. That's not our desire. It's probably about 10 times a year. And it comes at a perfect time in our own lives. This has been a dream of ours for 10 years now. But with our youngest graduating, it really opens up where we can go and what we can do and not have any constraints of like, oh, she's home and we got to figure out what she's doing or this, that, and the other. So it's really interesting. The dream that we had 10 years ago is finally coming to fruition now in a perfect timing with our youngest going off.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to pull out of that. Yeah. This wasn't by happenstance. You don't control it, but you now have the platform. And even then within the one family where you're like, hey, you know, like whose church or whose organization could really use us to come in and do a workshop or a weekend. And then like we're going to talk about here in a minute with relationships and partnerships, one of those leads to two more and two of those leads to four more. And it really becomes a compounding thing once you open the door to it. And I think you've been very smart about being intentional on like capping the demand or capping the, I guess, capacity, right? You probably could do 20, but you don't want to, right? You want to do 10. So you're just sold out for the year. So even if someone really wanted you to come, I mean, maybe for the right price, but in general, you're going to be like, no, we're full. We've kind of got our whole calendar worked out for the year. So I think that's amazing. So we kind of have a view of the speaking side and the travel side. You're kind of like 10 events a year, at least one that you're holding on your own, either a cruise or an adventure or a paradise. What else do you see changing or evolving in the business over the next, say, 3 to 5 years?
The big part is really building out Bold Wives Club. That's one area that we see a lot of growth and one where Elisa can be one to many instead of the one to one that she's been doing the coaching. And she really loves that time with her wives. And BOLD stands for brave, open-minded, loving, and decisive. And it's something that she embodies and has for many years. And so imparting that on other wives so that they can be bold in their life and in their marriage is something that she really likes. Another area we've talked about it is partnerships. I personally love those. If I can find the right experts to bring to the one family, I'm always looking for good partnerships. It's not that I want to do that on a monthly basis. You know, it's more like quarterly. So maybe like 3 to 4 times a year. But if it's the right partner, it's really a benefit for the one family and for us. And so I see that continuing to write our books. The marriage niche, I came to find out, folks love their books. Yes. And they love paperback books. They want to buy them. And we'd written 5 books before the Six Pillars of Intimacy. You would have thought I would have learned something, but we stopped writing books and got sidetracked. Once we came back to writing books, it's interesting how many books we sell on Amazon and how much fun it's become to become a bestseller and then get hundreds and hundreds of reviews on the book. And so I've learned how to do that. So we will continue to write books because it's an way for income. Like you got to do something, not just writing the book and publishing it, but you still got to market the book. But there is a flywheel that begins to happen. Once you get it moving, there is passive income that's coming in. I could see that being a really nice stream of income for us at some point when we're like, what do we really want to do? Let's just write books and see the money come in every month and call it good.
Yeah, maybe go to Cancun or something, but
yeah, you know, let's write a book in Cancun and there you go, put it up.
Offer so up. Humor, 'cause I have to say, like, even I don't have hundreds, I have like tens and tens of reviews of my own marriage book because, to Tony's point, I don't know if this is probably true in most B2C markets, but definitely in relationships, the way that people want to consume this information is primarily through books. I know you guys did a little of that and they kind of resisted it. Now you just went all in. You're like, hey, if that's what you want, that's what we'll do. We'll write a series of books. And then obviously the books become a part of the speaking package. And then the books obviously become a huge lead generator to feed the rest of the system and create the flywheel effect, like you mentioned. So what I heard there was continue to travel, but not too much. Really build up Old Wives Club to where the one-to-many coaching and community that Elisa can serve grows as maybe the one-on-one tampers down a bit to free up more time and energy for some of the other things you guys are doing. And keep writing books, keep doing the podcast, and just keep growing steadily and predictably. It sounds like that's really the goal for the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, that really is it. I mean, this is a lifelong journey for us. So we don't see ourselves like stopping anytime soon. We want to impact the generation now, but we're also seeing the next generation getting impacted. And we want to just continue to do that. It will grow and things will ebb and flow and different things will happen. As you and I both know, there'll be moments of just like brilliance and then times when you're sort of struggling, trying to figure out what to do next. But I think that's part of who we are, is to continue to think of new ways, new solutions to impact our couples and the one family.
Yeah, I'm really grateful to have a front row seat. Like I said, you're in my mastermind. We get to spend a lot of time thinking about these things and being intentional and really asking those key questions of like, what do I want? What do Elisa and I want? What's our unique ability? And be able to pour into that. And I think you guys just continue to like get more and more, like if you think like a spiral, you continue to spiral more and more into your bullseye, your zone of genius.
Yeah.
It's amazing to witness. And then the income comes with that. The impact leads, but the income follows. And so you guys are a great example of that, especially in the business to consumer space. So typically at this point, I'd be like, here, Tony, here's the microphone. Teach the audience the smart strategy, but I'd actually like to kind of wrap on this a little bit. And you already mentioned it a couple of times, and so did I, but partnerships. Partnership marketing, you might call it collaboration. In some relationships, it might be considered affiliate, but not necessarily. So I know firsthand some of the really cool partnerships you've had. And I'd love for you to just maybe just go through a few of them. I'd like, we could talk about Elle and Andre and self-publishing. Tell the story of how they came about. What was the monetary result from this? And just give the audience some really fresh ideas of how to view the world through collaboration and partnerships. And in some cases, I think these are really unique. And I think a lot of people would have never saw them, even though they might have been right under their nose. And I think you've developed a knack for this and seeing these opportunities. So I will kind of give you the mic here for a few minutes and just share some of your collaborations that you've done with one.
Well, let's start from the beginning a little bit here. You and I, we've done some. You did one with Elisa. I forget what we even called it now, but I think it was around some sexual intimacy. I think you were like interviewing her and it was this workshop that you did with her. And we did that many, many years ago, right? And so that was the start of it. And again, with a lot of these things, I think over time you look at things, you're like, oh, that didn't work out the way I wanted to. So you just sort of throw it out. And then it comes back around. And as our business has evolved, and I think online businesses have evolved, right now is just an amazing time. So what we do, and typically what I'm looking for, is someone who's an expert in their field, truly is an expert. So for instance, Andre Santos with The Science of Connection, he works with couples, but typically one of them is out of the game. They're like, I don't want to do anything with you. I am tired of you. I've asked you to change. I'm out. So he works with the one who's going like, no, I want to save this marriage. And so we have partnered up and we've done a masterclass called I Love You, But I'm Not in Love with You. That's what that person is saying. I love you, but I'm not in love with you.
Great name, very visceral and emotional, but it's the truth, right?
It's the truth. And we work with him and we put together a masterclass. We charge for the masterclass because I believe in the value he brings. And if you're coming to this masterclass, then you need to pay for his expertise and his time. The most recent one we did, we had just over 70 people sign up at $97 each. We split that. And then at the end of it, I'm working with experts who do have a high ticket offer on the back end, because I know there are going to be people there who are going to be like, that was great. I got a ton out of it. I'm going to start running with it. And that's great. That's what our podcast is a lot of the time. That's what a book is a lot of the time. But there are people in the audience who are going like, I'm lost. I'm sinking and I need help. And so Andre does a wonderful job of being able to go like, hey, here's my calendar. get on my calendar. Let's see if this is a fit for you. So through this last collaboration we did, he ended up signing up 4 individuals and he's working with them right now to help them save their marriage, which for us is a win. Yeah. Because if they can come back together, then they can come back to One Extraordinary Marriage and together they can work on their 6 pillars of intimacy and they can have the extraordinary marriage they desire. Boom. Beautiful. Elle, we worked with Elle. We did a stress and sex masterclass with her because stress has such an impact on our sexual intimacy. They're just couples who are just drowning in stress. And really when they come to us and they talk to us, they're like, my sex life is horrible. My sex life is non-existent. And you begin to learn that, well, why? Well, this happened at work. This is happening with our children. This is happening in our community. This is happening with my mom and dad. It's just stress. And so they can't get out of under that stress. And so Elle has such a wonderful way of just helping. She's also grandma type, you know this. And just a soothing voice. And she did amazing. And I think she ended up on that masterclass signing up like 4 individuals, 4 couples to work with her. I've done another one on codependency. This was a partnership in terms of I love this couple. And I know they wanted to do some stuff. They're really good in person. They don't really have an online digital presence. So as much as I love them, we didn't hit numbers at all. So I learned from that one. They didn't really have a really strong offer on the back end as well. So that sort of fizzled and I learned from that.
So Elle was really interesting because Elle would identify herself as sort of a performance coach. She works with people with anxiety. She actually works with my daughter who was dealing with some like stage fright sort of anxiety. And so you think about that, and she was in Tony's accelerator group.
Yes.
So there was that connection of being in the same group, and they really got to know each other. And it's like, wow, like who can he connect or they connected? Performance anxiety, of course, but totally not thinking about the bedroom with the bedroom. And like now you have sex and stress, which became a very attractive and catchy title. And then, you know, you sell tickets to the event, and then you guys get a portion of the coaching that she sells. So it ends up being a 5-figure event for you by bringing on an expert. Andre was not in your accelerator group, but he was in the one following you, and I'm probably me or through one of our alumni connections, you guys connected. And obviously it was a more obvious connection of, oh, we're both marriage. And I think most people would be like, I'm a marriage coach. You're a marriage coach. See ya. You guys though saw like, no, like we serve the same audience in a way, but in a very different way. And so like, someone's pillars don't exist or they're completely crushed. How can Andre help rebuild them to the point that then again, you guys could go help them take it to the next level from there. So it's really kind of point like, where did some of these things come from? Because people might be thinking, wow, it'd be cool if I had an Andre or an L. Will you meet them by pouring yourself into networks, relationships, masterminds, in this case, accelerator groups? So it's like being in proximity is the first step. And you have to have the foresight or the open-mindedness to then see the opportunity for collaboration and not be so closed off and scarce that you think, oh, they're going to take a piece of my pie. It's not like, let's put our stuff together, we'll have a bigger pie, and we'll both actually win in a bigger way. And that's really the spirit of partnership marketing. So I think in all 3 of the examples you just gave, I mean, obviously they each have their own audiences, but in general, you had the platform, they had the expertise, and so you've built this platform over 15 years. And so one of the huge benefits of that is you have an audience that has needs outside of what you and Elisa feel comfortable or feel called to serve. And so you're just really kind of an open hand, like, hey, you know, if you can help in a different way, let's collaborate. And I guess another one of those would be self-publishing, which would be kind of completely off the radar for most people, but I'd love to hear what you guys have done with self-publishing and just describe who self-publishing is and what role they played with your books, and then talk about the collaboration that you've done with them that's been mutually beneficial.
Yeah, so in February 2021, we were going pretty strong through the pandemic, and in 2021, basically my entire marketing team who I had hired and was working with, they all quit. It was a very scary time. We had 6 pillars going. We just were unable to really generate the revenue we needed. At that point in time, I looked at Elisa and I'm like, it's time for us to write the next book. 6 Pillars of Intimacy has to be written this year. And this is February when this is all going down. Sort of got our bearings and tightened up the ship. And I think it was like April, May of that year, I started searching. I'm like, we've written 5 books, self-published books. I can't do it on my own again because those books, although they are good, they're not excellent. They didn't reach the potential from a term of launch, bestseller, the reviews, everything that needed to happen. And so I went on a search and found selfpublishing.com and have been with them ever since. With that came just being part of the community. I think it was just getting myself into it. Early on, it was tough because we wrote that book, Six Pillars, in 5 months. From first word to publish, it was 5 months. And then once it got published, then I really began to dive into the community and start to learn, get into the group coaching. With the success of the book, I begin to have these conversations with their partnership team. And they're like, hey, would you be interested in possibly partnering? And I'm like, well, that's sort of odd because I serve married folks. And so we started talking and they're like, well, do you think there are people in your audience who would like to write a book? And I'm like, I'm sure there are. And I'm sure there are many of folks who would write more on the memoir side of things. But there also have been folks who have come to self-publishing doing nonfiction books as well. So what we did is we partnered up. They did a free workshop, in this case, sharing their three-step process of writing a book and getting it started within like 90 days or something of that nature. And then obviously, just like any other offering and high ticket, jump on a call. Let's see if it works. And we'll go from there. I'm so glad we did. I had some reservations like, am I going to lose a lot of people on my email list? Am I going to get a bunch of unsubscribes? Because it's not really marriage. But we have one individual in the one family. I'll say her name. Her name is Karen Wilkinson. She wrote a book called On Borrowed Breath. Her husband died 3 times. He had COVID pneumonia. He died 3 times or close to it. He's alive today. He got a double lung transplant. And she's told her story. And it's so beautiful and riveting that us being willing to go, hey, we'll offer this and open it up. She has had success with her books. And just recently, I think she still has more reviews than I did. And it came out. I keep telling her, I'm like, I am going to pass you in reviews. But yeah, and so that came about because it was a natural fit because we've worked with them. We were known as authors. We've self-published all of our books. I just love what they do, and they are the experts in doing self-publishing, in my opinion. There are probably many others, but I just love their framework, the way they have their coaching, their AAA program, the different stuff they have. And so for me and Elisa to get behind the microphone and introduce people to them, it's sort of like, if you have any questions for us, we've used them, we're still there, and we're still active, and we're still writing books using their system. And so that's where that one came about and has helped.
Again, it's that openness. You got this podcast, it's about your relationship and your one family, and you've got every email is about some part of Six Pillars and all these intimate topics. And then it's like a record screech, like, oh, wait, we have someone here. Let's talk to you about, do you want to write a book? But of course, you guys handle it with care. And I think the most important thing is like, this is how we wrote this book. Like, you guys all love this book. This is who we used. It's amazing. And then, of course, I see the world in partnership. So I'm here on Tony and we're walking around PodFest. I end up having a meeting with one of their partnership people as well. It hasn't been released, but it will be soon. But about 5 days ago, I recorded an interview on Self-Publishing's podcast with
Peter
Bolt, who's the founder. And that was really awesome. Of course, for me, it's a little more hand in glove. Podcasting and books are pretty complimentary. And then I'm going to be hosting them for a similar workshop. I have not yet written my book, but I am committed to it. I'm signed up with them. So maybe Tony will get some referral credit there too. But the big announcement here, I'm going to write a book. I don't have a date yet. But
not at all, dude. Do you have the title yet?
No, not yet. I'm close.
Okay.
But again, it's like, is Tony resentful that I'm doing that? No. Like, it's very collaborative, right? Like, I'm doing a totally different thing. And of course, I give him credit. And it's just this idea of collaboration.
But I even introduced you to Chandler because we were at conferences together and we've been talking. I'm like, dude, you need to meet Chandler. And I know Chandler personally because Elise and I have been interviewed on his podcast. But they also hold an annual event that Elise and I have spoken at with Chandler. Most of the people on the team in some way, shape, or form know us. I go to these events and I see the folks who are there in the expo halls who are with self-publishing, and I'm sitting there talking to them and hearing about their books and who they're working with. For me, it was like, you guys need to meet Dustin, and Dustin, I need to introduce you because there's such a collaboration and it overlaps because I'm in the groups and people are like, well, how do I get on podcasts? And it's a conversation we have almost every week in our marketing coaching.
One more partnership that comes to mind, Tony, because again, we've talked about a kind of a B2B partnership with self-publishing, a couple different workshop level partnerships or collaborations for people that were really used coming in front of your audience. And you may have others, feel free to share. But the one that comes to mind is more recently a collaboration you did that it was your audience, but it was also several other significant audiences in the marriage niche with like Monica and Jill. Do you want to just talk about that collaboration and kind of what that did for your business and how it came about? Because I think it's a really interesting.
Yeah. So Jill Savage, She reached out to me after I did a summit with Monica Tanner. And she's like, hey, Tony, would you be interested in doing a giveaway? And I was like, well, tell me, what does that giveaway look like? And she shared all the details. And she said, what we'll do is we'll have 10 of us total promoting this giveaway. And we decided, I was like, yeah. So she would find four folks, authors in the marriage niche. I would find another four. And then as a collective group, 10 of us, we would give away, I think everybody was giving away a digital product, and then they would give away like a book or something. They would send a book to the grand prize winner. Plus the grand prize winner got like $250 in an Amazon card. And so the whole purpose of that one was for list building purposes. And I've done these with other folks as well. And it turned out to be fantastic. At the end of the day, I grew my list, I think, by 3,400 new email subscribers. I think as you know, you look at it and I'm looking at things, it's probably around 2,400 folks have stayed on my list. But it was more of like, hey, how do we bless others? We're going into the new year. Let's give them something that just jumpstarts their marriage. Everybody in here is going to win because we all get everybody who subscribed, minus those who are already on your list. So that's been something I've been working on as well over the last couple of years, is how do I partner with other folks, even do exchanges to continue to grow the email list, get new people on so they get to know, like, and trust us, be it through our newsletter, through the podcast, through a book, whatever it may be. And again, help them have the extraordinary marriage they desire. That's the end game, right? How do I help you have the extraordinary marriage you desire? And I have to do different partnerships and meet new people and connect with them to do that. Because if I did it on my own, or at least when I try to do it on our own, which we've tried in the past, it gets lonely and it gets brutal in terms of you're in a silo and there's so much more going on outside of us. So how do I partner with you? How do I come alongside you and see you succeed? And in that time and in that process, we'll also succeed. It's always a win-win to me, man. It's always a win-win. How do I see you win so we can win?
Yeah, that's it. And that's why you've been so successful. And I mean, that specific tick, I guess, if you will, is really like a cross-pollination. And so I've talked about that in terms of having a panel of experts as guests. So like, hey, you're really good at this. You're really good at this. I'm really good at this. Then we come together and we cross-pollinate our audience. You know, it could be an email list, LinkedIn following, whatever. And we all serve them. And then we all benefit, right? And then, again, it's collaborative. And, you know, you can imagine a scenario where someone from your list gets on there and they really love what Jill Savage is doing, Jill and Mark. And Jill and Mark have a very different focus than you. They're still helping married couples, but they're more about like marriage mentorship. Then not did they leave your list, they're also on your list, and they're going to like think fondly of the fact, well, I love Tony and Lisa. They're the ones who introduced us to Mark and Jill. And now we've got this whole new calling or new evolution in our marriage. And will there be a little bit of like net loss in some cases? Maybe, but not from the people that you were really called to serve in the first place. So everyone in the list knows I'm all about these win-win-win partnerships where you win as the brand, the host wins and bring you in front of their audience, and their audience wins because you serve them so well. And you've given us lots of great examples, both between you and I, the different partnerships you've done as far as workshops, the list cross-pollination, the B2B stuff with self-publishing. I guess one final one, I don't want to leave the affiliate side out of this. So affiliate basically means, hey, I'm going to sell your stuff to my audience and I'm going to get a referral commission. It's the very classic way of doing this, the very linear way. Do you have a favorite sort of affiliate partnership that has worked really well for you all too?
Well, Amazon Associates has been the long-running one. Yeah. And I know it's small percentages, but when you're in a B2C world, you have a lot of your folks who are on your list, who are following you, who are buying products that aren't yours. There are products you don't want to sell. For instance, for us, there is a litany of sex toys. I don't want to sell them. I can tell you what the top 10 are, and then I can link to Amazon, and you can pick the one you want. And I'm fill it. And so Amazon has been that one spot for many years. Just to give an understanding, I mean, when we first started, we were making maybe like 10, 15 bucks a month. We make a few hundred, couple hundred, few hundred every month, pretty much without really doing much anymore, just because of the amount of articles and links we have across the website and social media. But there was one Christmas where I made a very concerted effort to go like, all we're going to do is promote Amazon stuff because I had nothing else to promote. And I think I remember you and I talking about this. I was like, I don't know. And that Christmas, and I haven't done it since because we have other stuff at this point in time, but that Christmas, we ended up making like $8,000 in Amazon associate income.
Zero fulfillment, which is the cool part, right? No customer service.
I don't do anything. So I just have loved what I've been able to do with Amazon over the years. And I've shared this with so many people, no matter where you are, you can always use those Amazon associate links. Even if you're B2B for yourself, when I think about you, it's like, hey, yes, you're in the podcasting world. And yes, even if you're guesting, you need to get that Yeti microphone.
I was going to say, I literally have someone who texted me a few days ago. I was like, now, which microphone should I get? Because I'm kind of coaching him on a huge interview he has coming up. And yeah. I was like, oh, get this one. You know, very simple Yeti X. It's yep. nothing fancy, but it works.
We both have it. Yeah. You have the newer one. I have the older Yeti.
So, and, you know, I wasn't thinking about it. He's like, well, give me your Amazon Associates link. I'm like, oh, yeah, I have to dig that up. I never even think to give it to people. I think I made like $4 or something, but hey, it's better than nothing. And I gave him the recommendation. So, you know, I earned that commission.
Yeah, but for you, I think, and for other folks too, think of the articles you can write. Articles are still important. If you have any audience, you can continue to share this with them. But hey, here are the 5 best items or pieces of equipment you need for podcast guesting.
Yeah.
And boom, here it is. 5 items. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And why you need them, linking right to Amazon. Hey, you don't know how many people will pick up a Yeti or whatever other items they need, but it just ads. And now we have, like, I'm pretty sure at this point in time, thousands of links.
You know what I mean? Well, this was fun to obviously hear your story and understand the passion and the mission and where you guys are going and hear your own 7-figure leap journey here. Yep. And I really, of course, we could literally talk for several hours just about partnerships and different collaborations that you've
done. We do when we get together.
And we do a lot in the 7-figure mastermind. But so for today, we'll end it here. Maybe we'll have you back in the near future to talk about new stuff that comes up. But Tony, I super appreciate you and I appreciate your time here. What's the best place for people to come get into your world? Maybe find a podcast or where would you like to send people today to make sure that they can get the help they want if they're married and looking to make it extraordinary?
Yeah. So I am going to do what Dustin teaches us in his podcast accelerator. I'm going to be very clear on one thing you can do. And if you want to learn more about us, but really, if you want to learn about the 6 pillars of intimacy framework and have the extraordinary marriage you desire, go to 6pillarsofintimacy.com. And that is the number 6. So 6pillarsofintimacy.com. Grab the book. It's on Amazon. Get it on any format that is best for you. And in there, you can find out how you can join our email list and learn more about us and where you can find the podcast and all of that.
Amazing. So 6pillarsofintimacy.com. He's a great student. We're like, hey, grab the domain, make it super easy to remember. We've said 6 pillars of intimacy, 100 times today. So 6pillarsofintimacy.com. You're going to go get into Tony's world, get the extraordinary marriage that you desire. And honestly, if you're not even married and you're just like, I want to see how these guys have built such an amazing business, it's a great place to get in, kind of see how their email systems work, see some of their funnels. And you can funnel Tony too. So you can. All right, Tony. Well, thanks, brother.
Thank you.
See you in all the other places I'm going to see you, but I really appreciate your time here today. It was awesome.
Yeah. Thank you, my friend.